to introduce Brother Hamilton. Brother John Hamilton has been my dear friend for close to 34 years, and I thank God for him and his ministry. God's used him in establishing new churches, and he's encouraging pastors around the country, and he's pastoring the New Life Baptist Church in Columbia, South Carolina when he's there, and so he's a very busy man, and he happened to be out here, and we're dear friends, and so spend a few days down in the Fairfield area, and he'll be preaching for us today, and we're just glad to have him here. I know that you will enjoy his ministry. He's a great preacher. He loves people. He has a very compassionate heart, and the best part of Brother Hamilton is his wife, okay? And Pam came this time, and she doesn't travel much. She's a homebody, but thank you for being here, Pam. It's a blessing to have you here, and we're able to go out and have dinner last night together, and so I'm looking forward to what he has for us today, and I hope you'll give your careful attention as he preaches right after Heather sings.
Bye. saw. Don't you love that song? Amen, because he is. He is. Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to take just a minute and thank Pastor for this privilege and this honor. And I want to thank you as a church. You helped us 12 years ago to start New Life Baptist Church in Columbia, South Carolina. It's doing great. And God is continuing to bless. We're seeing souls saved. We've baptized the last several weeks every Sunday. And we support 66 missionaries now. And you have a part of that. And we thank God for it. When you came in, you received this pamphlet on U.S. Church Planting Ministries. Won't go through it. If I have time, maybe tonight before I preach, I might go in a little bit more detail. It'll tell you a little bit about it, but mainly just pray for me. And hopefully tonight we can share with you what God is doing in that ministry. I've got three churches getting ready to start, one in Washington State, right near, not too far from you, one in Kansas, and one in Minnesota. And so the Lord is just branching this thing out amazingly. So let's stand in honor of God's word, Ephesians chapter 1. Let's follow along with me as I begin with verse number 3. Blessed be the Father, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Let's pray. Precious Father, we do bow in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you so much that you are amazing. We're grateful for the love and the mercy and the grace that you bestow. And God, we thank you for we that are here today that are saved by your precious blood. Thank you for redeeming us, forgiving us. Thank you for allowing our lives to be conformed to your image. And God, we pray that you'll just speak to our hearts today. We're grateful for how you've spoken through the songs of the choir and through Sister Heather and through the congregational singing and now through the reading of your word. And God, as you commanded that we pray, so we pray, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things, marvelous things out of thy law. Speak to us. And God, you know my heart. And you know that I can't do this without you. So to the best of my ability, Father, I pause. And once again today, I yield my life to thee. Please, God, fill me with your spirit. May we hear from you today. May it be you that we see and you that we hear from. May our ears be open, might hear. May our minds be open that we might understand. May our eyes be open that we might behold the truths. And may our hearts be open to receive them. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want us to look at the subject today, God's answer to the world's chaos. I don't think I have to tell you, but just in case you don't know, this world's in a lot of trouble. And it's sad to see. But it seems as though that our culture and the world's culture is seeing a systematic and degenerative decline in traditional values. We look around us and we see, especially in America, where the Church of Jesus Christ, I believe, has now become awakened to the reality that at least two generations have been lost. And people who have studied this and analysts who have studied it, Pastor does a lot of reading on this kind of stuff, and it's sad to see what has brought them to the place where they are today. They've really come up with several suggestions, but I want to share with you five of the top things that have caused this lost generation, especially our young people today, to be disconnected with the church and to not be involved in church and not be involved in the work of God. These analysts say, number one, they have a search for meaningful relationship in life. That's what they're after. They're looking for it. But many have come from this culture of divorce, and there's no home life for them. And they wonder, is there a better life? is it possible to have relationships that are meaningful? They're searching for it. The second thing they found out was they have a desire for immediate gratification. They have this give it to me now mentality. They are used to things being instant. I had instant oatmeal this morning. Just pop it in the microwave, you know, put some water in it or milk, whatever, pop it in the microwave, and just a few seconds it's hot. Put raisins in it, put some walnuts in it, and praise God, you're good to go. You don't have to wait on it to stir and cook and boil and all this. That's where we are today. I even find myself impatiently waiting in front of a microwave oven for it to be finished. Whereas before, 15, 20 years ago, you had to wait 30 minutes for the meal to cook. Our lost generation, though, they're after this immediate gratification. I want it right now. They've grown up not knowing to wait. They've grown up with instant things. The third thing they found out was they want something for nothing. The younger generation, that's what they want. They've got this entitlement mentality. And a lot of it's due, forgive me, but due to the government, many government entitlement programs that just give, 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 give. But also wealthy parents giving their children everything they want, supplying all of their needs, and they don't have to work for it. So this lost generation has this idea, I want something for nothing. A fourth thing they found out was they desire guilt-free living. Because at night when they lay their head down and they turn the light out, there's this thing called a conscience. And all they want deliverance from it. They toss and they turn and their nights are sleepless and they wonder, when and how can I get rid of this guilt? They desire it, they crave it, but they just don't know where to find it. The fifth thing they found out was they're in search for prosperity. That's all they want, is to be wealthy. All they want is to be successful. And they search and they search and they search, hoping they'll be fulfilled. Now, who has the answer to these questions? Who has the answer to the needs of this lost generation? I believe the answer can be found in one verse, and it's our text in Ephesians 1:7. Notice that closely. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Again, this lost generation is searching for a meaningful relationship in life. We're made to be loved, and we're made to love. We all want love. We all want to be loved. And they're searching for it. But number one, Jesus offers something personal. This verse says, in Him, not in anything else, in Him. The Lord Jesus Christ, because what He has to offer is not religion. What Jesus has to offer is not a ritual. What Jesus Christ offers is a personal relationship with Him. And folks, you can't compare that with religion. You can't compare it with ritual. But having to know that you're loved by Him and knowing that you can love Him and have a relationship with Him, that's what this world is searching for. They're looking everywhere except up. And it's Jesus that offers something personal. What He offers is Himself. The very thing that society is searching for, the very thing this lost generation is craving for in relationships, is found in Jesus Christ. They'll try their best to try every other avenue this world offers. And beloved, you and I know this world offers many roads that they can travel. And they try it. And they end up empty. So they try another path. And they end up empty. Because no relationship will be ever in line until you get in line with Jesus Christ. The bottom line is this. You will never be properly related to others until you're properly related to yourself. And you'll never be properly related to yourself until you're properly related to Jesus Christ. It's His life that will change your life. That's what he desires. It's Jesus who's the one who has all the answers that this society is seeking for in a meaningful relationship. Maybe you're here today and you think, oh, I'm just so lonely. I just wish I could have a great relationship. And so people try marriage. And if you get married just for a relationship, you're not marrying for the right reason. Marriage is wonderful. Pam and I will be married 36 years next month. She deserves a golden crown. She was 11 and I was 12 when we got married. Not really. But anyway, I was preaching Friday night in Reno. So I was talking, having a banquet, I was preaching during the banquet, and this lady asked me, she says, how old are you? And I said, how old do you think I am? I said, how old do you think I am? She looked at me, she said, I don't know, 63? I said, great day in the morning, do I look that bad? I'm 56 years old, and she's thinking I'm 63? Man, maybe you want to go get a toupee, maybe you want to go get a face manicure, whatever it takes to make me look younger. Then she started laughing and she said, no, I'm just teasing. She said, you look 29. I said, now you're talking. Now you're talking. They're searching for a meaningful relationship. Jesus offers us something personal in him. Number two, this world is searching, remember, for an immediate gratification. This give it to me now mentality. Jesus offers us, secondly, something present. Our text says, in him we have redemption. That's present. You study it out, it's in the present active indicative. In other words, it means that the event of redemption is occurring right now. He who hath the Son hath everlasting life. Not you might have it, but praise God, when you're saved and born again, you have eternal life now. It's present. And so this world is after this immediate gratification. They want it now. They want to be satisfied now. They want to be fulfilled now. Beloved, it's only in him we have redemption. Right now, presently, at this moment. I'll be honest with you. I know that when I came to know Jesus Christ this month, the 27th day of July, 1975, I was 17 years old. Unfortunately, long-haired, dope-smoking hippie of the 70s. Now, you young people don't know what a hippie is. Let me tell you, a hippie is the weirdest-looking dude you'll ever see in your life. A hippie is the one who just don't care. All they want to do is smoke pot, listen to music, and just let life go on by. Well, that was me. I know it's hard to believe, but that was me. Teenagers want to come to our house, and the first thing they want to do is say, let me see them pictures of you back before you got saved. And people look at them, they can't believe it. But that's the amazing grace of God. Yeah. See, I joined the church and got baptized when I was 15 years old. But I had religion. On July 27, 1975, after I'd met Pam and her mom and dad, through the greatest Christians I've ever known in my life, I saw that they had in their life what I had been searching for 17 years. And after questioning them and watching them and observing them, I saw reality in their life. They had hardly any money, but boy, they had love. They had joy. They had peace. They had gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance and long-suffering. Those are the nine fruit of the Spirit, by the way, of Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And that's what I had been longing for and desiring. And on July 27, 1975, as a 17-year-old young kid that my life was in ruins, I was sitting in the fourth pew. Pam got up to play the piano for the invitation, and God just got a hold of my heart. And I realized I had religion, but I wanted a relationship. And I knelt there all by myself, and this is what I prayed. I said, Lord, for 17 years, I've made a mess of my life. And God, I'm empty. And I know you died on the cross and shed your blood for me. And I pray right now that you come into my heart and change my life. And you know what? He did. He really did. It's been 39 years ago. Next, 2 weeks from today, my 39th spiritual birthday. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. That's my spiritual birthday. And, you know, it's been 39 years. And I haven't gotten over it. Matter of fact, he gets sweeter and sweeter as the day goes by. And it seems like the more I live for Jesus, and the more I realize he loves me, the more I love him, and the more I want to serve him and do more for him. Why? Because in him we have redemption. You know, that he's the only one that gives us something personal. He's the only one that offers us something present. But there's a third thing. Remember, the world is after, you know, free things. They want the free things. They don't want to have to pay for it. They look, as the statistician said, they just want something for nothing. Well, our text says the Lord offers us something that's provided. In whom? Something present. We have redemption, something personal, then something present. Then in whom we have redemption through his blood. The Lord offers something provided. That's free. What Christ has to offer you and me and the world, it's free. You don't pay for it. It's something that you can't work for. Jesus Christ paid the price. In whom? Something personal. We have redemption, something present, through his blood, something provided. It's not his power. It's not his love. And it is not his teaching that saves us. It's his blood. It's his blood. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, is no remission of sin. Jesus Christ shed his blood. I never tire of hearing the old story. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, beloved, God loves you. He loves you. And he proved his love, Romans 5:8. But God commendeth, he demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He suffered, he died like no man had ever suffered and died. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. All we can do, beloved, is recognize that in him we have redemption through his blood. He gives it to us. Eternal life, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a great promise God's given to us. Why? The world is searching for something that's free. They don't want to pay for it. They just want it given to them on a silver platter. Well, God says, I offer you eternal life. Accept it. Recognize what sin is doing in your life. Recognize what sin and Satan has done to your life. And recognize the emptiness you have without me, God says. And I give you something personal. It's in him. I give you something present. We have redemption. I give you something that's provided. It's through his blood. And then fourthly, the Lord offers something profitable. You see, the world is craving this guilt-free living. They would love to be able to lay down their head at night and feel at peace. But many last night went to bed guilty, restless, unhappy. They want guilt-free living. Well, the Lord offers us something profitable in him. Personal. We have redemption present. Through his blood, it's provided. Then notice what else? The forgiveness of sins. That, my friends, is profitable. Guilt is a corrosion to the soul. Guilt will destroy your life. We can't get rid of it ourselves. Try as we may. We can't drown it. We can't deny it. We can't deflect it. All we can do with guilt and sin is dissolve it in the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood takes away our sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, I wish I could sing like Heather. I would just break out in a song right now. But I don't want to ruin the service. Amen. I mean, it's been too good so far. But only through Christ can we find forgiveness of sins. Only through Jesus can you lay down your head at night clean and forgiven and cleansed and whole. That's only in Him, because in Him whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Psalm 103 verse 12, we all know it, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed thy transgressions from thee. Aren't you glad He didn't say as far as the north is from the south? You see, the north and the south have an ending place. There's a north pole, there's a south pole. But east and west just keeps going, just like an Energizer bunny. Just keeps going and going and going. But folks, God forgives our sins as far as the east is was from the west, and He'll remember them no more. Corrie Ten Boom, the old famous missionary, she said, and God puts a sign up and says, no fishing. I like that. Society wants to come up and try to fish your sins back out. But when God forgives, He forgets forever. He cleanses us from all sin. He removes our sin. Beloved, that is something profitable. I'm so thankful that I'm forgiven. I'm grateful that if I confess, if you confess, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Now, I'm not a smart guy, as you figured out. Now, your preacher's smart, brilliant, and all that. Every time I'm around him, I think, oh, man, I just need to quit ministry. You know, the guy's a brain, man. He's a walking brain. I don't know. It's just some people are blessed like that. But I'm not, as you can already figure out. But I understand what all means. I can understand that little three-letter word, A-L-L. That's everything, everybody. God will cleanse us of all our sin. Well, the answer to the world's chaos, it's in Him personally. It's in Him we have redemption that is present right now through Christ. He's also provided us something that's provided, given us something that's provided that's through His blood. It's free. You don't have to pay for it. He offers us something profitable, the forgiveness of sins. But then lastly, the world is in quest for prosperity. And they're driving themselves crazy. Well, our text says the Lord offers something purposeful. He says, in whom we have redemption, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Aren't you glad He didn't say according to the riches out of His grace? You see, I don't have a checkbook. My wife does. She says my name's on it. I've never seen it. I don't write checks. But I got a credit card, praise God. But she writes all the checks. Well, let's say since my name's on it, if I told her, honey, give me a check, and I just signed that check and gave it to you. Say, whatever you want, go get it. Now, she would not let me do that. But anyway. Now, that would be me giving you out, me giving you according to my riches. It's not much, by the way. I want you to know that. But if I gave you a blank check, I would say, okay, according to my riches, you go ahead. Not out of my riches, but Christ, according to, the Bible says, the riches of His grace. He offers us. And beloved, He's rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9 makes it clear, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Amen. Now, we're not talking about money. I know when I got saved, I thought my life was already planned. I was 17 years old. I'd been working for my dad since I was a little kid. He owns the airport in Columbia, South Carolina, where I pastor. He's retired now, but when Dad took that airport, he got a first 20-year lease from Richland County. It was closed down, grown up. It was an old World War II airport. And Dad took it over, totally changed it, and went through several major millions and millions and millions of dollars in buildings, et cetera. He was grooming me for the business. And I love flying. I would eat, sleep, and drink flying. I got my instrument, my multi-engine, and my ratings and all that, and I just love it. I love flying. I don't fly anymore, but that's what I was going to do. When I got saved, Dad sent me to college my first year, paid everything. I had not a care in the world financially. Everything was taken care of. I had a car, had airplanes. Anytime I wanted to fly somewhere, just took the pick. Dad always had 10 to 15 airplanes all the time. That was his business. And my first year in business school is when I surrendered to Bridge. I'll never forget the Saturday I came home and told Mom and Dad I was going into the ministry. You would have thought that I was telling them I was going to be a bootlegger or something. I mean, they just, you know, now, and for 5 years, literally for 5 years, they were ashamed of me, embarrassed of me. I was the only Christian in my family, you know, except my younger brother, but Dad took everything away from me, everything. He had given me a credit card, he took that. The only thing I got to keep was my car. That was it. Had to finish paying my bill at college before I transferred to Bible school. And never helped out. But I'm thankful. Because it taught me total faith and dependence upon God. Because God can do that. I still wear my college ring. If you wonder if I graduated from college, I did. It took me 5 years, but I finished. I really did. But I still wear this since 1981 because this is the only thing my dad did for me for all my education. So he bought me a ring. I cherish this ring. Pam will tell you, if onyx ever gets scuffed up, send it back. And that lifetime guarantee is real. I don't know how many times we've sent it back, 3 or 4 times probably. And if it's because it reminds me that though my earthly dad was embarrassed, and though my earthly dad was unwilling to help me get Bible education, my heavenly Father, according to his riches and glory, took care of me. Amen? And I'm no different than you. No, dear. That is the answer to the world's chaos today. Society, they are doing their best, trying their best, looking for meaningful relationships. Well, Jesus provides us something personal in him. The world is craving for this immediate gratification. The Lord offers us something present. We have redemption. The world is craving for things that are free. They don't want to have to pay for anything. They want to be given to them. Well, the Lord offers us something that's provided. It's through his blood. The world is craving for guilt-free living. Well, the Lord offers us something profitable, the forgiveness of sin. The world is craving a quest for prosperity. The Lord offers us something purposeful according to the riches of his grace. That's the answer, folks. If you want a good verse to memorize, all the verses are great to memorize in the Bible. If you want a good verse to memorize, that's a good one right there. Because it will give the answer that this whole world is searching for. What about you? Are you searching? Are you looking for a meaningful relationship? Are you looking for immediate gratification? Are you looking for something that's free? What is it? Jesus Christ is the answer to every one of the problems people are facing today. Doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. And doesn't mean you're not going to still be on a quest for some things. I don't advocate you get saved, all your problems go away. Quite the opposite. When I got saved, I was plagued with problems. I didn't even realize there was a devil till I got saved. Seemed like everything turned against me, and I thought, wow, this is weird. But through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Father, we bow in the name of the Lord Jesus, ever thankful, ever grateful, for the privilege and the honor that is ours, to know that within your word, we have the answers to what people today are searching for. Help us to share it faithfully wherever we go. May you be honored. May you be glorified. May you be exalted, Father. Lord, you know every heart. You know every life. As Pastor comes to lead the invitation, I pray that if there be one here that's not saved, that they'll come to know you as Lord and Savior. That personal relationship, there's nothing like it. For Christians who are here, Lord, they're struggling. I pray that they'll realize in him we have redemption. through His precious blood. God, encourage us today. In Christ's name, amen. Pastor.
As our heads are bowed, let's stand together, please, as the musicians begin to play. If God is speaking to your heart about